Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, reading again today from the biography of Elizabeth Prentice, author of the hymn, More Love to Thee, O Christ, the book, Stepping Heavenward, and many other things which are not in print anymore, but that book, Stepping Heavenward, is. I've been making an attempt this week to whet your appetite for biography. Elizabeth Prentice was a woman of great capacity for suffering, as well as great sympathy and understanding. She went through many deep waters. I've lost count of how many children she had who died. But she was also a woman of unusually great gratitude and contentment. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's a letter to a young friend dated August 1872. The lines you kindly copied for me have the ring of the true metal, and I like them exceedingly. People make too much parade of their troubles and too much fuss about them. The fact is, we are all born to tribulation, as we also are to innumerable joys, and there is no sense in being too much depressed or elated by either. The saddest birds a season find to sing. Few, if any, lives flow in unmingled currents. As to myself, my rural tastes are so strong, and I have so much to absorb and gratify me, that I need a mixture of experience. Two roses that bloomed in my garden this morning made my heart leap with delight, and when I get off in the woods with M, and we collect mosses and ferns and scarlet berries, I am conscious of great enjoyment in them. We must take life as God gives it to us, without murmurings and disputings, and with the checks on our natural eagerness that keeps us mindful of Him. You speak of the higher life people. I still hold my judgment in suspense in regard to their doctrines, reading pretty much all they send me, and asking daily for light from on high. I've had some talks this summer with Dr. Stearns on these subjects, and he urges me to keep where I am. But I try not to be too much influenced for or against doctrines that I do not, by experience, understand. Let us do the will of God and suffer it, and we shall learn of the doctrine. Real wisdom in that advice, isn't there? It's interesting that a woman who could be so serious about great matters was so spiritually minded. You may ask, was there any humor in Elizabeth Prentice? I think of George MacDonald's words, "It is the one most sure of his God who is not afraid to laugh in his presence." Well, here's a portion from a humorous letter written in 1872. A friend of hers had apparently left, and she hadn't seen her for a long time. So Elizabeth writes, "Why didn't we just take and lock you up when we had hold of you? Well, now I've torn out all my hair, and people will be saying, 'Go up, thou bald head,'" which is a quote from Scripture. "Besides, you left them bunch berries, and do you suppose you can go home without them? Why, it wouldn't be safe. You would be run off the track and scalded by steam and broken all to pieces and caught on the cowcatcher and get lost and be run away with and even struck by lightning. I shouldn't wonder." Now, of course, here she's talking about steam engines and trains that most of you listeners are much too young to know anything about. But tracks and being scalded by steam and caught on the cowcatcher, do you know what the cowcatcher was? It's that triangular thing on the front of the trains that was literally meant to fling a cow off the tracks. But she's teasing her friend, saying that all these awful things should have happened because her friend had forgotten to take her bunch berries along. Bunch berries are wild berries that can be found in the forests of New England. Now, if you go in tomorrow's train, you'll catch the smallpox and the measles and the scarlet fever and the yellow fever and all the colors in the rainbow fever and go into a consumption and have the pleurisy and the jaundice and the toothache and the headache and, above all, the conscience ache. And you never ate any of our corn or our beans. You never so much as asked the recipe for our ironclads. And I don't know what ironclads are. You haven't seen our cow. You haven't been down cellar. You haven't fished in our brook. You haven't been here at all, now I come to think of it. I dreamed you flew through, but it was nothing but a dream. And the houses have a habit of burning down, and ours is going to do as the rest do, and then how will you feel in your minds? And when folks set themselves up against them and won't let us have our own way, why, then, I tell my daughter, what makes folks do as they oughta not, and why don't they do as they order? And we all pine away and die like the babes in the woods, and nobody's left to cover us up with leaves. She's asking her friend, please, to telegraph her and let her know that she got home safely. Well, the older we grow, the more irrefutable evidence we find that there is no true satisfaction or rest except in God Himself. People will always let us down. She says, your temptations, like mine, are through the affections. Only God can satisfy a woman. And yet we try every now and then to see if we can't find somebody else worth leaning on. We never shall, and it is a great pity that we cannot always realize it. I never deliberately make this attempt now, but I'm still liable to fall into the temptation. I am sure that I can never be really happy and at rest out of or far from Christ. Nor do I want to be. Getting new and warm friends is all very well, but I emerge from this snare into a deepening conviction that I must learn to say, none but Christ. Now, dear, it is a dreadful thing to be cold towards our best friend, Jesus. A calamity if it comes upon us through Satan. A sin and folly if it is the result of any fault or omission of our own. There is but one refuge from it, and that is in just going to Him and telling Him all about it. We cannot force ourselves to love God, but we can ask Him to give us the love, and sooner or later He will. He may not seem to hear. The answer may come gradually and imperceptibly. But it will come. He has given you one friend, at least, who prays for your spiritual advance every day. I hope you pray that for me. Friendship that does not do that is not worth the name. You'd like to hear a tribute from her husband, wouldn't you? This is what he writes. Her mental grasp of Christian doctrine in its vital substance was very firm. This letter written, obviously, after she had died. Her power of observing, as well as depicting, the most delicate and varying phenomena of the spiritual life was like an instinct. A purer or more wholehearted love of the truth as it is in Jesus, I never witnessed in any human being. At the same time, she was very modest and distrustful of her own judgment when opposed to that of others whom she regarded as experienced Christians. I wish you could enjoy a tithe of the happiness that was mine during the winter and spring of 1873 and 74, as evening after evening she talked over with me the various points discussed in her book, and then read to me what she had written. Those were golden hours indeed, hours in which was fulfilled the saying that is written, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. As I look back to the Sabbath evenings passed with her in such converse, they seem to me radiant still with the glory of the risen Christ. Nor am I able to imagine what else than His presence could have rendered them at the time so soothing and blissful. Her own Christian life was to me a study from the beginning. It had heights and depths of its own which awed me and which I could not fully penetrate. Jonathan Edwards' exquisite description of Sarah Pierpont at the age of 13, Mrs. Edwards' own account of her religious exercises after her marriage, and Goethe's Confessions of a Beautiful Soul always reminded me of some of her characteristic features. If my pastoral ministrations gave any aid and comfort to other souls, I can truly say it was all largely due to her. And as for myself, my debt of gratitude to her as a spiritual helper and friend in Christ was and is and ever will be unspeakable. The instant I began to know her, I began to feel the cheering influence and uplifting power of her faith. She longed so to live and move and have her being in love to Christ that nobody could come near her without being straightway reminded of him. Such was her constant prayer, and it was answered in the experience of many souls. And here is just a little snippet of a love letter that she wrote to her husband. Here we are, sitting by the fire in our dear little parlor. We made a very comfortable journey to Manchester, but the ride from here was rather cheerless and cold as they forgot to send wraps. The neighbors had sent in various good things, and the strawberries looked very nice. It rains, but M and I have surveyed the garden, and she says it is looking better than usual. I only wish you were here. Your love is intensely precious to me, as I know mine is to you. How thankful we ought to be that we have loved each other through thick and thin. This is God's gift. I cannot write legibly with this pencil, nor see very well, as it is a dark day, and yet too early for a lamp. The life of Elizabeth Prentice, a woman who loved God, who loved her children, who loved her husband. I hope you'll read it.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.